You know, Christ's church began with a ragtag bunch of common people. They were just people like us. They were no different from us, folks. Let me tell you, okay? They weren't high and holy religious folks. He didn't go into the synagogues. He didn't go into the places of worship and say, hey, you and you and you, priest, come here. You're going to start. No. He chose the common people to come into his collection so that they would then be empowered to go out and preach his message. They were transformed from weak-minded and fearful to bold and unstoppable. Because even when they individually were stopped, the message continued. And we're all evidence of that. Each and every one of us is evidence that God somehow transformed those common people, those normal people, men and women, into unstoppable spiritual forces to be reckoned with. And to grasp that transformation that they went through, we're going to look at the second chapter of Acts today. And so if you would, I ask that you would open your Bibles to there in the Pew Bible. You'll find it on page 733. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 1. And we will read through verse 14. Acts chapter 2. And I think it's verse 14. I don't know. We'll see when we get there. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we need you. We need you to open our ears to hear. God, please remove anything that impedes our hearing and learning today. Please, Father. We want to be your witnesses, but we are powerless without you. Please pour out your Spirit so that we can receive what you have for your people here today. Fill us, Father. Fill us to overflowing so that we will do what you call us to do now and forever. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And this is what we hear there. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, you all with the Pew Bibles, I've got to fix that because I'm just a little different with the King James. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not these all who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocked, saying, they're full of new wine. They're drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, now, I'm going to pause there, folks. Peter, the guy that was hiding, who was cussing whenever they said, you're one of them. I know you. I recognize your dialect. You're one of his guys. No, I'm not one of them. This is Peter. When he was about to be crucified, while he was on trial, Peter was denying him. Now listen to Peter. Something changed, folks. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says to him, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, I want everybody to bow their head and raise their hand and say this little prayer after me. No, that's not what Peter said. I know, you thought I was reading a different version, didn't you? No, that's not what Peter said. Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. These were people who were in hiding. Jesus said, just relax. You're going to get the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pour out the Spirit upon you. And when the Father, he said, will send the Spirit. When the Father sends the Spirit, you're going to be empowered to take the message out into the world. And these people had come from all over the land. They're hearing them speak in their own tongue, speak in their own language. It was amazing to them. They thought they were drunk. And Peter said, no, they're not drunk. It's only the third hour of the day. This isn't drinking time. It's not time to drink. All right? But Peter says, he quotes Joel, "It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit on some flesh." What you got in your Bible there? Does it say some flesh? Does it say all flesh? All. Your sons and your daughters, prophesy. Oh, come on now. Paul said the women are supposed to be quiet, right? Oh, wait a minute now. But the Lord said your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So ladies, you got no excuse. The Lord will give you a voice now. So let him use it. "On my maid servants and on my men servants will I pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Just in case you thought he was kidding the first time, he repeats it for you. "The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. It shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yeah. Peter, the guy that was hiding, who was cussing people out, who were accusing him of being one of Jesus' followers, this is Peter. He's boldly proclaiming the truth. Something changed, and it changed everything. David, he quotes David. David says, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad, more of my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in death, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." David was dead. David was in the grave. And Peter points it out. He said, "But this one that you crucified, he came out of the grave." Something changed, folks. This Jesus God has raised up. And all these people who were there at that time had witnessed it. And Peter was boldly proclaiming the truth. He was no longer cowering. He was no longer afraid. He was no longer hiding. He didn't care what they thought. He didn't care how they looked at him. He didn't care if they sneered at him. He didn't care what they did. He was going to proclaim the truth. This was the same guy. The same guy who was afraid was now bold in his proclamation of the truth. And God says he's going to make the enemies of Christ his footstool. "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." He's the supreme in command. And when they heard Peter proclaim the truth, what did they say? "Get out of here! We don't want to hear it!" No, they said, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" They recognized that they were in error. Unfortunately for us today, folks, a lot of the church that calls itself, the people that call themselves a church, they're in error. And they don't care to do what God wants them to do. You know, in the chapter 17, the 17th chapter of John's gospel record, we hear Jesus praying to the Father, and he says, "Father, make them one as I am one." Somebody asked me yesterday at the Walk of Hope to bring awareness to the drug problem. No, we're all aware of the drug problem. We want to talk about prevention. We want to talk about promoting recovery. But somebody said, "Well, I don't know why people aren't coming out." And I said, "I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why. Because the churches aren't united. Because the body of Christ has been divided, sliced and diced by the devil himself. We call it denominations. I call it demoninations. The demons have separated the body of Christ into parts, and those parts won't reunite. They won't come back together. They won't do what it is that God wants. Now here we had a united body of Christ. When we're reading, there were 120 or more people that had gathered together, and Peter stood up in front of those people and everybody else, and he proclaims to them, this is the guy. This is the Messiah. This is the one who was brought here by the Father to bring salvation to humanity, and you killed him. But he came back. He didn't stay in the grave. And they're, what should we do? What should we do? And Peter tells them what to do. He tells them, bow your head, say a little prayer, raise your... No. He said, repent. Repent. Turn from your sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you will receive the Holy Ghost. And that's the change agent. The Holy Ghost is the change agent. The Holy Ghost transformed that ragtag bunch of people into true-hearted believers who followed Christ even to their own deaths. Big difference. Something changed, and everything changed. Everything changed, not just a little bit. The gospel went out. The message was proclaimed. And for a time, they enjoyed some favor. They continued steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles. That which Christ had taught, the apostles were teaching. They weren't making it up as they went. They weren't coming up with their own ideas. They didn't have their own theology. They didn't have their own doctrine. They were teaching what Jesus taught. Unfortunately for us, the church has changed that. How can we be saved from this perverse generation if we don't unite as a body? Fear came upon every soul. They hung out together. They broke bread together. This is why we hold our lunches every Sunday. We get to know one another. We get to fellowship with one another. How many people will sit in a church service today and run off to some restaurant to have lunch? And I'm not knocking restaurants, don't get me wrong. Because we used to do that here. Till one day I looked at the bill and I said, wait a minute, we could feed everybody for that much. Seriously, folks. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And everybody who believed, they were together. They hung out. They were in one accord, and that wasn't a Honda, okay? For those body men that are here. And then mechanics. They sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anybody had need. It was a communistic system, actually. They were in a commune. They put everything together, and anybody that needed anything had it. Now, as the church grew, that changed. But initially, they had a tight-knit group of people that were all working together for the common good so that everybody's needs were taken care of. Nobody lacked anything. And they continued daily in the temple. They were not just going to a service once a week. Okay? They were the living, organic body of Christ on earth at that time. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Nobody was saying, oh, I wish this was a better cut of meat. They praised God. They stayed in prayer. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. God gave them power, Holy Spirit power. They were enabled to do what He wanted for them to do. Where the church was weak and beggarly and lacking the ability to move, He empowered them to get up and go and do what it was that He wanted them to do. Where they were frozen and fearful and inactive, He made them active and bold, promoting and pushing forth the truth. Instead of idling in neutral, I was thinking as I was preparing these notes, a friend of mine likes the big block Chevy engines, okay? And when you listen to those big block Chevys, they just purr. Oh, my beautiful engines. And I'm thinking, what better engine could the church have than a big block Chevy, right? No. The Holy Spirit is the engine. The Holy Spirit has the power for each and every one of us to get what we need to do what God has for us to do. Jesus told them they'd receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. We read that in the first chapter of Acts. And then they were empowered to give their lives in service to Christ. How many of you would like that power? Power to do whatever God calls you to do. See, I've got both of my hands up because I want to receive what God has for me to do what He wants for me to do. I don't want to be sitting in idle. I don't want my engine just to be idling. I want to be revved up. I want to be empowered. I want to be moving. I want to be doing what God wants me to do. And it doesn't matter if it's in this building or outside in the community. In fact, I'm going to put a sign over those doors out there that says Mission Field. When we leave here, we're going into the mission field. I saw that in another church that I was in recently. Something to that effect. The whole world's a mission field. They became powerful in the spiritual realm. And was that power for their benefit? I want to remind you of that fellow named Simon who was a sorcerer. He said to the apostle, give me this power so that I can do what you do. And Peter said, your money, he was going to buy it. He's going to pay them for the power, okay? And Peter said, your money perish with you. It's not for you. It's for God's glory. It wasn't to get them rich and famous. It wasn't for them to build something else. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, even Butler County, Pennsylvania. I added that little part in the end there because it says, even to the ends of the earth. Witnesses are those who dedicate their lives to the mission of Christ. Remember, we looked at that root word. It means martyrs. People who give their lives. Who give their lives in service. I want you to open your Bible to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. If you look in your pew Bible, it's on page 585, Ezekiel 37. I want us to read for ourselves a few verses there in Ezekiel between Lamentations and Daniel, after Jeremiah, before Amos, Old Testament, Ezekiel, page 585 in the pew Bible. Chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. This is Ezekiel the prophet. God's giving him a vision. I'm going to begin at verse 1, and this is what we hear there. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Now listen up, folks, because this is the Lord speaking. He's speaking to you too. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath into you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. I'm going to pause there for a moment. I'm going to pray that prayer. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. I trust that God will seat his word in your heart. Dead, dry bones coming to life. Now, we've got something over those bones. You know what it is? God doesn't have to put the skin on us, okay? We've already got the muscles and the skin and the sinews, and all he needs to do is pour his breath upon us. He can pour his breath upon each and every one of you. You can ask him to do that. And he'll give you what he gave in that prophecy to those bones. Preach it, Jonah. Jesus became master of the dead by bringing them to life. He mastered demons. He mastered unclean spirits. He mastered sickness and death. And he can still do that, folks. He's still the master of all. He's still the master. And so as I wrap this up, I want to ask each and every one of you, is Christ your master? Is he your Lord? Have you surrendered your life to him? If you say yes, then I ask that you would think about the facts that you can share about your surrender. What are those facts? If you were arrested for being his, what evidence would be used against you to verify that you are, in fact, a servant of God? Is there any evidence to share? Is there anything that the prosecution could bring against you? Has he brought you back to life? If so, what's the proof of it? Has he put the meat back on your bones? Has he breathed his spirit into you? Are you prophesying, speaking forth the message of Christ? Are you bringing the truth to bear upon the world in which he has put you in? Are you a new creation? Jesus said you must be born from above before you can see God's kingdom. Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Truly born again, transformed, renewed, changed? Are you a part of the change that changed everything? Or is everything just the same for you? Do you want the kind of power that overcomes fear and inaction? Do you want that spiritual power to boldly proclaim the truth? Then ask him for it. Ask him for it. He'll give it to you. You see, if God can prophesy on some bones and raise up a mighty army, and there's a spiritual application to that, folks. God told Abraham he was going to raise up more children of Abraham than the sands of the sea, the stars in the sky. You wouldn't be able to count them. And you know God has done that, and he is still doing it, even this day. Do you want that spiritual power? Then ask God to pour out his spirit right here and right now. Would I love to see each and every one of you become fully emblazed by the fire of the Holy Spirit today? Ask him to give you power to proclaim his word. Ask him to give you his power to proclaim deliverance. We had a young lady here a few days ago, 20 years old, deeply steeped in addiction, begging to be freed, begging to be delivered. We prayed over her. And she said she felt released. She felt released. She promised to be here today, but she's not. And unfortunately, very often, we are so selfish when we're in addiction that all we want is that pleasure that it brings to us. We don't like to hear that part, though. We like to claim it as a sickness only. We don't want to talk about our role in that sickness. Ask God to give you the power. Ask Him to empower deliverance from sin and death. Ask Him to stir up His Spirit to speak through you, every day. Ask Him. Do you want the ability to have listeners hear what you're saying? Very often when I speak, I know that it's falling on some deaf ears. I believe today that the people here are listening. I've prayed. I prayed this morning for a long time that the people that God brought here today, He would open your ears so that you would hear His truth that He proclaims from His Word. But if you want to have that power, to have ability, that ability to have listeners hear what you're saying, you need to ask God to do that, because I can't do it. You can't do it. We can't make people listen. We can't make them hear the truth. We can't have that spiritual enlightenment occur unless, in fact, they are empowered by the Spirit of God. You want the power of God to transform souls from darkness to light? Ask Him for it. Do you want Almighty God to use you to build His kingdom? Ask Him to use you. Do you want what God wants? Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, teach them everything that He said, including repentance. Repentance. Turn from your sin. You turn from your sin. And then proclaim that same message to others. God brings healing. Give yourself to Him right now. Surrender to Him right now, right where you are. You don't have to come up here to do it. You can do it right in your seat. You can tell God, look, God, I'm done. This is over. I'm over. It's all over, God. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want what You want. I want to do what You want me to do. I want to be Yours, fully empowered to do what You want, to say what You want, to be who You want. And let me tell you, folks, when you pray that way, not by bowing your head and raising your hand, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but by a surrender prayer, giving yourself over, He will take a hold of you and He will use you. Give Himself to you. All you have to do is ask. And so now I say, let's pray. Father, I lift these people up to You. I trust, Lord, that You have brought them here to hear this message today, Father. I believe we are in a timeline and it's a short line, Lord. Father, help us. If there's anybody here today who has not been born again by Your Spirit, I ask that You would pour Your Spirit out upon them right now. Lord God, I can't command You to do anything, but I beg You, Lord, because You say, whoever comes to You shall be born again. And so I lift up everybody in this room, Lord, all of us, Father, including Yours truly. We want to be witnesses who are dedicated that we would give our lives in service to Your mission, the mission of Christ. Let us be fully surrendered that He would be our master and none other. That all the chains in our lives would be broken, Father. That we would be freed from those things that do not please You. That we would be enabled and empowered by Your Spirit to go forth and bring out the message of Christ from Your Word to deliver it to others. I thank You for the youngest members of our congregation, Lord, that are receiving Your Word today. And I trust that when it's planted in their hearts, it will not depart from them. I thank You, Father, and I praise You in Jesus' name. I ask, Lord, that You would give Your Spirit to us, Lord, even here, even now. Help us to boldly proclaim the truth. Help us, Lord, empower us to bring deliverance from sin and death. Stir up Your Spirit to speak through us, Lord. Open the ears of those that we get to speak to. Let them hear what we have to say. Father God, we ask that You would pour out Your Spirit upon us to transform souls from darkness to light, that we would be used by You to build Your kingdom, I pray, in Jesus' mighty and matchless name, Yeshua Messiah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, and all God's people said, amen. Now we're going to open our hymnals to number 325. Praise be to God, we have a piano player. Thank you, Doug, for stepping up there and allowing God to use you in that ministry. Number 325, if you're able to stand, please do. If you're not, then don't. And it'll be just fine. More like the master I would ever be. Let's sing all three verses and then we'll go to lunch.